You? I imagine the two of you go back a ways together.
We go back a long way. As a matter of fact, when Horace first came to town, we worked opposite one another at a place called the Downbeat around the corner, about three blocks away.
You won an early music award in the 50s as sort of comer, outstanding young artist of the time. You won the Downbeat Award?
It was the first of the New Star Awards, and I think he won the second.
So you do go back for that.
That's for sure.
He's a wonderful pianist, of course, but you think maybe it's as a composer that he's going to be remembered.
I really believe that. In the 50s, when everybody was very cool and doing lots of things, he wrote some of the most played pieces in the jazz repertoire. He wrote The Preacher and a lot of other pieces that really changed the approach of jazz musicians from cool to a more energetic and more soulful, more funky kind of playing. And he's continued over the years, and it just bugs me that a guy with this kind of talent, with this longevity for writing pieces and music that musicians want to play, people want to hear, is not given a better shot by the music business. I mean, the business you would think would take a guy like this and really work with him and say, hey, this is a major composer, let's do something. ASCAP commissioned him recently, a couple of years ago, I guess, to write a work based on, at least in tribute, to Duke Ellington. And that's a high honor. I mean, only one or two people have had that over the few years. So his peers think a lot of him. But the music business, which is support him, I don't know. They leave him to do a lot of things himself. You know?
But he does those things himself. I mean, he's sort of become a music business of his own in a way.
Yes, he has. He's got his own publishing company, own record company, and he gets out there and does all of it. Just goes and does it. He studied typing with me. It's kind of like this.
All right, here's that noted typist, Horace Silver.
As Horace Silver goes about his business in downtown L.A., running a one-man record company and hosting his own cable radio show.
Composer, lyricist, and bandleader, Horace Silver.
You hear all of this interesting conversation about when he was with Duke Ellington's band and all his...
The style is so unassuming that he might easily be mistaken for just another guy who's crazy about jazz.
Hate to cut it out, but for the sake of time, we're going to have to cut some of this stuff out.
Horace Silver is not just another jazz buff, as his many fans know. At the piano, Horace Silver's style is unmistakable, a percussive, bluesy style of hard bop that is all his own. As a pianist, he's one of the all-time jazz greats.
It was people like Bud Powell Monk and Lester Young and Coleman Hawkins and Dizzy and Bird, you know, all those people, Earl Garner, who were stylists that enthused me the most. You know, I loved to listen to good jazz, period, and good players, but it was the stylists that always enthused me. I always said to myself, you know, I don't think I have a style of my own right now, but I'm going to work on it and try to develop a style of my own. And I want to get myself to the point where in years to come, when I make a record and people put that needle down on the record, they play a quarter inch of that record and they're going to say right away, that's Horace Silver, you know.
In the 60s, Horace Silver recorded hit after hit on the Blue Note label, jazz albums that have become classics. Albums like Finger Poppin', Song for My Father, and Blowing the Blues Away.
Well, let me sing it. We could be doing that in harmony, you know,
right.
Whatever.
Sure, sure.
One of Horace Silver's many awards for Blue Note reads, in jazz, all that glitters might not be gold, but much that is truly glorious is silver.
That turnaround has become a cliche. I
hear guys play that all. That's a cliche in playing, man. I was telling a student, one of my students was playing, and he plays it. I said, you know what that's from? I said, what do you mean, what's that from? I said, that's the Horace Silver turnaround. He said, oh, yeah? I mean, it's just a part of the vocabulary now.
Horace Silver has been in the forefront of jazz as a composer and stylist for almost 40 years.
Trying to do in those early days when you wrote Sister Sadie and Filthy McNasty and all those very swinging things that were so popular. What'd you have in mind?
Well, I tell you, Billy, in those early days, I guess what was at the forefront of my mind was being successful, going down in jazz history as one of the great piano stylists and one of the great jazz composers. But as I grew older, my values have changed slightly. I've become very enthused with what music can do for humanity.
When you saw all that love, let me tell you something, fellow, where the tropic moon is yellow.
Horace doesn't tour as much as he used to, but when he does, he plays with the same intensity he's always displayed, an intensity that's an inspiration to his musicians. Like singer Andy Bay.
First of all, I'm trying to rhythmically put the rhythmic pulse in that will get up under the guy and boost him and mm-hmm. make him feel like playing and make the rhythm swing, you know, first. But secondly, I'm saying to myself, now, what can I do with this chord? How can I change the voicing on this chord? Try to get up under a soloist and push and drive and give them some fire and some incentive. You know, I kind of looked at it as if you had the soloist in the palm of your hands, of both hands, and you were just lifting them up like this, you know, and saying here to the people, here he is, you know, go ahead and play, you know, but pushing them, you know.
Hey, city man, a country farm, if you worry about the farmer, have the trouble with your mama.
Part of the reason Horace doesn't perform much anymore is that he's busy running his own music publishing company, recording and releasing albums on his own labels.
Hunt and Peck system.
I'm up at 7 o'clock in the morning here, you know, and I go into my little office room and I'm working in there, mm-hmm. and then I'm at the piano, I'm practicing, I'm composing, I'm arranging, I'm orchestrating, I'm taking care of these business details by phone. Typing, I'm in the car, running to these various places about the record jackets and the label copy and the studio or whatever. I'm wearing many different hats. Sometimes I stand in front of my living room floor and I say, well, God, what do I do next? Like, there's so many details on my list. Which one is the most important one to do now? You know, will I ever catch up? You know,
Horace, we're in this, we're here at your piano. And you've got an awful lot of pictures up here. I mean, this must be very inspirational just to look up and look at some of these faces. Why are some of these pictures here?
Some of these pictures of these people here on the piano, some of them are my mentors, you know,
uh-huh.
and some are just people that I admire who inspire me or for some reason or other, you know.
Give me an example.
Well, for example, Hopalong Cassidy, you know, not a musician, of course, mm-hmm. but he's a childhood hero of mine. When I was uh-huh. a kid, I would never miss a Hopalong Cassidy movie. You know, he was my cowboy idol, you know.
Uh-huh. He still spends much of his time composing at his house in Malibu.
Often I wake up from sleeping in the morning. You know, when I wake up, I get a melody in my head. I might get four or five bars or four or five measures or six measures, whatever. I'll run to the piano and pick them out with one hand, you know, and then I'll find some harmonizations for them and go from there. So I think that is the good Lord giving you a thought seed, so to speak, you know, as if someone whispered in your head, well, here's a four-bar phrase. Take it and work with it and develop it into something, you know, and you go and do the rest, you know, yourself, you know.